You're listening to Gruesome and Unnatural, a true crime podcast.
Welcome back, you gruesome addicts, to another episode of Gruesome and Unnatural. I'm your main host, Eric.
And I'm the other host, Shelley.
And this is episode 75.
This is crap. This is beginning to be crap, okay?
That was good. That was good.
Are you trying to take over? Are you trying to take over the intro?
No, I'm just reaching out to all my Gruesome and Unnatural fans.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What up, everyone?
Hello.
It's me again.
Gruesome Addicts. It's Eric. All about Eric now. Are you ready for this one? Thanks for joining us, by the way, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Eric, are you ready?
Yes.
Let's do this. Brian Cohey Jr. was born to father Brian Cohey Sr. and mother Terry Cohey. I'm assuming sometime he was born in 2002, because there's not a lot of information on this case. It just happened in 2021, so... not a lot of information. Like, I believe he has a brother named Adam. Again, not quite sure. Lots of non-information out there, but did the best I could. The family was living in Grand Junction, Colorado. Bay Phillips took on a counseling role towards Brian in 2017. So we're jumping to 2017. When talking about Darwinism with Phillips, Brian asked, quote, "Why is it such a big deal to hurt or steal from others? It's what we are supposed to do," unquote. On one occurrence, Brian intentionally bullied a young girl in order to trigger her PTSD. Philip said Brian knew right from wrong at the time. But then another, a family doctor, Dr. Craig Gutsidson, their family doctor, he began seeing Brian when he was 15 years old. This doctor diagnosed and treated Brian with depression in 2018. And then in 2020, Brian started complaining of frequent headaches. And so this same doctor ordered a CT scan to check for any tumors or clots and stuff like that. But the results were normal. Brian saw the same doctor for an infected abscess under his arm. And so they did some kind of procedure on that. So then eventually Brian's mother initially hoped that in all of this, that this Bay Phillips, that she could help her son process, his uncle had just passed away. So he was going through a lot at this point. Uh-huh. He's only 15. And so she was hoping that this, doctor would be able to help him with the death and everything. And Brian reported that he was feeling tired of pretending that he was being so upset about his uncle's death for some reason.
Wait. So this is a medical doctor?
Yes. There's multiple doctors right now. He's dealing with a family doctor, Gutsidson, and then he's dealing with the other, Bay Phillips. So he's being seen by other people.
But they're medical doctors. He's not going to a therapist at all. So that's weird, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they're not. Probably know more than the average person on mental health. Maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on the person. But that's just weird that they're going to a doctor for. I always found it weird that a doctor can say, "You're depressed. Let's get you something."
Yeah.
When it should be more a therapist, psychiatrist.
Yeah, right. For sure.
I totally dealing with was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
for sure.
No. Continue.
But then, I agree. So what Brian's mother did now, you're kind of saying, brought him to the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation for an assessment in 2019. So maybe this is a better thing to take him to.
Vocational rehabilitation?
Yeah. Just from all the, he's being they're telling him he's depressed, he has PTSD, he has ADHD, all these kind of things and stuff like that. So his mother reported that.
PTSD?
ADHD. We'll take out the PTSD. His mother reported that Brian was unable to understand how his choices affect the future and lives and other people around him and stuff like that. So another doctor, Dr. Karina Catton, diagnosed Brian with the lowest level of autism, level 1, needing the least amount of support or assistance. So when she asked about his future goals in life, Dr. Catton said Brian responded by idolizing infamous people who were famous for destructive acts, including Adolf Hitler, Columbine shooters Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, serial killer Ted Bundy, and Joseph Stalin.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, that's
That's who he chooses?
Yeah.
Yikes, okay. Yeah. Red flags. Okay.
Yeah. Just starting from a very young, from all these years of going to all, yeah, so.
That's.
It's going, yeah. little weird. So Brian...
A little weird. I mean, that's fucking... Right there shows you something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You're not wrong.
Lock that fucker up now.
I know. As they probably should have. Or gotten him more help. They probably should have gotten him more help from... Well, we'll see. So Brian Sr., his father, describes an odd family night. Like, they were going to have, like, a movie night. This was February 27th, 2021, when their son... He's 19 years old this time, Brian... And he picked the movie 1984. And
one of my favorite books.
I can't think of you. And so, but they thought it was kind of strange.
I do not idolize any of the people he does.
No, I know you don't. But his parents thought it was kind of strange to like watch, like, this is the movie that he chose for like movie night, right? So they ended up moving, they ended movie night. It was over around 10 p.m. So after watching the movie, Brian decided he just needed to get some air and go out for the night or whatever. But at around 2 a.m. on Friday, the next morning, just a few hours later, but it's February 28th, 2021 now, Brian calls his dad stating that his car was stuck in, like, the water. It was actually the Colorado River, and that was at the Blue Heron boat ramp. And his father actually was the owner of the life jacket program there. So he's like, my car's stuck. I'm fine. Like, he got out of his car and everything. He's fine. But, like, in this video, they can see, like, the body cam of an officer that... We'll talk about it in a second. You can see his car is like halfway submerged in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he got wet and everything. He got out. I guess he like took his pants off and like finally his dad, his parents showed up and he hopped in the car or whatever. But so yeah, Brian Sr. and Terry, his parents, head over to get Brian. And this is when police show up to try and help them. But like I was saying, the car is like submerged in water. So they're like unsure what to do. Cause like the tow truck driver would have to like climb in the water. And like, you know, so they're kind of unsure what to do. So this is the audio from the body cam of that night. After they showed up, they spoke to Brian's mom for a little bit. And then they're like, well, let me talk to your son.
Okay.
So this is where we're going to go right here.
This is your son right here. Hey, pardon, you want to come out and talk to me real quick?
Sure, I mean, I'm really cold. Is it okay if it's in here?
Because that's fine. Pants because he had okay. Submerged.
That's fine. I did not know that. No, please stay in the car. Yeah, all right. Nobody else in the car.
Nope.
No, okay. No, just us. I'm the father. That's the mother, and this is our son.
Sounds good.
20 minutes ago, and said, "Dad, I parked at the boat ramp, and I messed up. I tried to get out of the car and slid down."
Well, you're not hurt, right? You're okay.
No, just a little cold is all.
Beside your pride a little bit.
And probably $7,000.
Okay. All right, man. Do you have your ID with you, driver's license, by any chance?
Thankfully.
What were you doing down here, bud?
Well, I felt like I needed to get out, like, and I figured, why not park here and just...
Just relax a little bit?
Relax and think.
Okay.
And I parked on the boat ramp, and I thought it would be easy to get out.
Uh-huh.
But when I tried to...
Where did you park exactly? Were you down the hill a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
And then...
When you got back in... Go ahead.
When I got back in... I tried to put it in drive,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't go up. So then I tried putting it in low gear, shimmying it a bit. That didn't work.
Were you facing down?
No, I was facing. I was facing up.
You back down?
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. That's
how we're gonna handle this, man? Because I don't know.
It might stay.
Do I get a tow going for a car in the river and see if anybody will take this?
I'm gonna work on that.
I don't know, man. So I'm kind of glad you were coming down here because I was like, it's not a crash. He just
It's like parked 8 feet out in the water.
He parked it. And basically couldn't get it up. It just lost traction, looks like. And then he actually went in it,
down
in the water. He's not hurt at all. So I'm like, how are you going to get this car out if possible?
I don't know.
We're going to get some options for you here, man. I'm not sure exactly if we're going to see if we can go through the list if anybody's got some ideas on getting this car out of here or not. I don't know. I don't
see
a whole lot of cars that have put themselves in that situation. So we're going to... Yeah. See what we can do. And,
I'm actually the owner of the life jacket program on the boat ramp here.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the life jackets in Grand Junction, Colorado. So it's like, oh my God, I'm. This is not.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, right off the bat, kind of weird.
Right?
The way he said he was parked.
Kind of
backed it in. You don't back a car in or park like that on a boat ramp if you're not dropping something off.
Totally. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's a regular sedan kind of car.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you saw it.
He ain't towing a fucking boat.
Yeah, no. It was just him and his car. Like, why are you backing down the boat? Like,
I mean, you've created a detective out of me, so I can already kind of think what he was doing.
You are not wrong. But yeah, very strange, right?
Yeah.
So.
And he looks, because. Shelly showed me the video right now.
Yeah.
He's just got this kind of, like you're saying, teenage mass shooter kind of vibe.
He kind of does. He kind of does. A yeah.
Killer,
yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh, for sure. He kind of does. So during all that, the police officers stay there on scene, but Brian Sr. and Terry decide to take Brian back to the house so he can get some clothes on. Because like I said, he took his pants off. And then the two of them, his parents, return alone, you know, a couple hours later. When the car's still there.
Your pants off?
Because I think he got submerged in the water.
Oh, so God, I got to swim and this I got to fucking take my pants off.
This is February, so I don't
I wouldn't want to leave my Colorado? Pants behind, you know?
No, maybe he took them off and he went in the car and in the heater. So I have no I idea. Know. I don't know. That's the officer. He's like, whoa, whoa, okay, stay in the car, man. Yeah. Stay in the car. So, like I was saying, they return alone, his parents, back to the boat ramp. In order to retrieve the car, because they had the tow truck driver there. The cops were still there. The same officer is still there, like I was saying. He notices when the car is coming out of the water, though, that there's like a significant amount of like this red stuff, which he thinks is blood, and even points it out to his parents. And they kind of think that maybe, you know, he cut himself in the process of getting out of the car or getting submerged in the water. You know, they don't really know.
Where's the blood? Like inside the car?
No, the officer, so they're pulling it out of the river, right? Uh-huh. So on the trunk, where the license plate is and everything, where they see a bunch of, like, red and, like, blood right there. Okay, so I'm actually going to show you. Trunk. I'm going to show you. Okay. This is another clip. I know. Right. I know. Let's this is another see, clip of the minute the officer sees his car getting pulled out and he sees what he thinks is, like, this red stuff, right? Okay, so here is that clip.
Hey, quick question for you.
Sure.
So the back bumper, I don't know, you can probably see it from here. It's a lot of red on the back of that, dripping down it all a little bit. But underneath the license plate, a little area right there. Okay.
Okay.
A lot of red, which means it looks like blood.
Blood?
Yeah. I don't know if did your son hurt himself on his way out at all?
He might have, he just didn't know it. I don't know.
That's why I'm asking. It's a good question. He's at home. Does he make sure he's not got a cut or...
He just said he's going to bed.
Something out on him somewhere that he's not aware of, maybe because his adrenaline was a little high. Maybe just have him do like a self-check, make sure he's okay.
Hello?
Brian, are you okay? They see blood on the back bumper of the vehicle.
Really?
Yeah, did you get hurt?
No.
Are you sure you don't have any injuries?
No, I'm fine. There's blood on it?
What? We're not sure.
It's a red, something red underneath the license plate.
Similar blood stain.
Oh, no.
All right, but you're not injured. You don't have any cuts?
No, I don't know what would cause blood or whatever it is on the bumper.
But you're not injured?
No, I'm not injured.
So a little weird, like, because they were saying, remember that the abscess thing that he got, like that little thing on his armpit that they were saying, so that his mom's like, oh, well, maybe like it opened back up or something. But she's like, how does that amount of blood get all over your bumper on your car? That's weird.
They're thinking he's too innocent. I mean, look at all the doctors he has to go see. Look at probably all the meds he's probably on.
Probably, yeah.
Look at all of his idols.
100%.
And blood on his trunk in a submerged car in the river.
Not leading to a good spot right now.
Leading? It says guilty all over it.
For sure it does, yeah. For sure. But we'll see.
Motherfucker probably just made his first kill and shit.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. So although the officers noticed what they, you know, thought could be blood, they didn't do anything about it and they just released it back, you know, to the custody of his parents. And then they went home, and that was the end of the night. They went to bed.
Huh,
and that
blood on a trunk?
That was the end of the story. Thanks for joining us for episode 70.
Bunch of bullets in the car? It's just like a fucking trail. Like
almost. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So the following day, March 1st, 2021, officers find themselves back at the Blue Heron boat ramp when someone made a missing persons report for a man by the name of Warren Barnes, 69 years old. That someone was Monique Linotti, who owned Monique's Bridal, because every day he would sit in front of her store to, like, read books and stuff like that, and she would give him a chair, and, like, not only that, but, like, so many other people, like, noticed him around town and stuff like that. He would stop by their place of business every day at the exact same time, and they would give him, like, coffee, a few bites to eat and stuff like that, because he was a homeless man. Not only that, but sometimes he worked at a place called People Ready. Just doing like little odd jobs, just helping them out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so People Ready had actually contacted Monique that morning, that Sunday morning, like, because he had never showed up for work, and they knew that she was really close. Like, she had known him for, like, 4 years.
Okay.
And so they called her, was like, hey, have you seen Warren? Like, we haven't seen him. She's like, no, I haven't seen him since the day prior at 5 o'clock. She was like, hey, Warren, I'll see you tomorrow. He's like, yep, see you tomorrow, same time, like he always did. But he didn't show up to work. Monique didn't see him. So she decided to report him missing. So they were back at the boat ramp because all the while that was going on at the Cohey's house, Brian Sr. decided to try and salvage his son's car and, you know, clean it out. And because he wanted to take it to a shop to, I don't know if they have to replace the carpet or whatever, or, you know, the flooring in the car or whatever. So he just wanted to salvage it. So while he's going through the car and cleaning it, he comes across a wallet that he didn't recognize to be his son's. So he opens it up and he finds not only a card that says people ready on it, but an ID with the name Warren Barnes on it. So he's like, not knowing who this guy is, right? He has no idea who he is. So Brian Sr. confronts his son that, you know, but he just said that he found it in a certain spot and he just kept it. He had no idea who this guy was either. He just said he kept it, right? And then Brian Sr. returns to the car and he opens up the glove box and finds a knife in there. But it's like clean. There's no blood on it or anything. It's a clean knife and he finds it in the glove box. So then Terry, his mother, finds out about what he had just discovered, Brian Sr. So she's like questioning everything, you know. So they're like, well, maybe we should call People Ready, you know. So they call them to inform them that they just found Warren's wallet. So, so everything's kind of like coming together where they're like, oh, well, that's weird. You guys just found his wallet. So Terry, the mom's like, well, that's weird. Like, I'm going to go up to his room. By the way, Brian's not there. He's at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. So Terry decides to go up to the room. To Brian's room and starts, you know, like mothers do, tidying up, doing what they do. I don't know what she's really looking for.
They just keep finding everything.
Yes.
And like okay, your car's in the river. Oh, I don't know what happened. There's blood on the trunk. How could that be there? There's a missing guy who's missing his wallet in your car. I don't know. There's a knife. It's like they keep
one thing after.
Hey, I found this body in the car. Drags it up to him. I don't know how that got there. Like, come on.
I know. This is like simultaneously happening though. So it's like, they're trying to like piece everything. You're like, the officers are just finding out he's missing. But then them on the other hand, know like what's going on with the son and they're finding all these things. So it's like, everything's slowly going to come together, but you're not wrong about what,
like,
you're saying.
They're just dragging everything over to him. Just like, what is this? I don't know. 17 kilos of cocaine. How did that get there?
Oh my God, it's so true.
I found all of that stuff.
Like any person, like when they get arrested. It's not mine. These aren't my pants. They're not my drugs. Yeah. Oh my God. So, like I was saying.
Pants?
What? Oh, well, actually, no, that has nothing to do with it.
Okay, I'm just trying to put it all together, yeah,
No, but you were wrong about something that you just said. Anyway, so like I was saying, she goes up there. I don't know what she's expecting to find, but she's like, it's weird, this wallet, knife. Maybe I'm going to find something in his room.
Like his manifesto, yeah.
Exactly. So she goes up there. She's rummaging through his room, not really finding anything. She goes to the closet, and she sees one of these, like, Rubbermaid basket container-like things. Mm-hmm. And she sees, like, there's, like, two plastic bags in there, but they're like double bagged almost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe nothing can leak out of them or something. So she starts to open it, just one of the bags though, and she sees like it's all like bugs and stuff like that. She's like, that's fucking weird. So she picks it up and she starts heading to the kitchen. Meanwhile, like still looking through it, she starts seeing like blood, and then she starts seeing like maggots everywhere. So she starts like obviously that's fucking disgusting, right? So she's like, I don't know if she really had any crazy thoughts of what it really was. So she sticks it in the sink and starts digging through it, and I'm just gonna leave you with that. Here's this call.
That sounded so gross.
911 is John. What's the address? Emergency?
Hi, there is an emergency. I found something in my son's closet wrapped in a plastic bag.
Okay, what was it?
I think it's a human head.
It's a what?
I think it's a human head.
Why do you think it's that?
Because it looks like it has an ear.
Is it bloody or does it, like, anything like that?
Can you just come? What? Do I have to take a picture and send it to you?
What's the address? Come? Is your son there now?
He just pulled up. We wanted to make sure he was here before we called.
How old is he?
2019. He's had a little bit of a fascination with the morbid, but he was channeling it, I thought, into becoming a crime scene investigator, but not so much.
Do you think he's going to be cooperative with us?
I don't know. I don't think he'll be violent. Okay. Just came back from his friend's house.
Does he have any weapons in his room, or do you guys have any in the house?
I don't know. I think that he has a shotgun, but we can certainly remove it immediately before he gets in his room. He's out by the car now, so.
Is the bag still in the closet?
No, it's in my kitchen sink. And there's a secondary bag that I have not opened. It's currently covered with a towel.
And there's a it's second bag?
There's a second bag, though. I don't know what's in it. I didn't open it.
I'm sorry. Did he take the second bag out of the closet?
I took the second bag out of the closet and put it in the sink.
Where's Brian now?
I think he's still out front.
And you're in the backyard now?
I am, yes, because I don't want him to hear me.
So that is the call.
I don't know how it got there.
Like, how terrifying is that? She had no idea.
Into the morbid, so I thought he was channeling it and becoming a private investigator or a, homicide detective or something. Or
that has nothing to do with it. I'm just kidding.
So it makes me question you. I'm going to check your closet.
Oh, my God. How terrifying. Oh, my
She's
God.
She's like, I'm going to remove the shotgun from his room.
Yeah, I know, right?
You better hurry up.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my God. How terrifying. Yeah. So Terry then gets, so during this, before she made that 911 call, she was getting her other son to call or text Brian and be like, hey, I need to use the car. So Brian came home. That's when she made the 911 call because she didn't want him to know that she was doing that. So officers came with no lights or sirens as they came, they came up and they walk up to the property and they talk to Brian. And I'm sorry, one last clip. You guys have to hear this. I'm also going to post it on social media.
Why are you apologizing? This is interesting as fuck.
I know. There's so many clips, but okay, here's this one of when they're approaching Brian after this call.
Why are you here? I didn't know what happened. It's not mine. It's just, I found the head.
Oh, God.
How much? Cooperate. I am going to cooperate.
Okay, so parents have some concerns of some stuff they may have found in your room?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what would it be?
A human head and hands.
That's it? That's all?
Yeah. Okay. Just the way he did it. He's like, a human head and hands.
Why did he take the hands?
I don't know. Well, I'll get into that. But yeah, he did a lot with this body. But just the way
did a lot?
Yeah, we'll get into it. I know. It's terrifying. But just the way he says it, it's just like, because he chills.
He admits it.
Oh, he did. 100%. So I'm going to get into it because this is what happens.
Not saying that that's... He's a good guy.
No, not whatsoever. But
he does not look like the type.
Right? He doesn't. Yeah. He really
Earlier
doesn't.
Earlier, I did say he's got this mass shooter look. Maybe.
But when you say
I saw it up
car.
Close, kind of, I don't know. Just, it's just as.
It was dark.
You never know who is.
And he was
what
in
is the
car.
Type, I guess.
Yeah, true. True, I guess. But that, he was, it was like dark and he was in a car and it was like, kind of looked like it, but it was like broad daylight. So in the interrogation video, he tells everything. Brian tells them that he was driving around the bridge. There was a bridge that night around this blue Heron boat ramp. And he noticed some sort of large tarp. So he thought, a homeless man's under there. Brian always kept he had a kill kit in his car. And it contained a knife and gloves. So he went to retrieve those. So he decided to put on three layers of gloves on one hand. And then the other one, he just had the knife or he had grabbed a knife. So, but according to him, he said that, quote, plastic gloves can betray their users, unquote. So that's why he put three gloves on. And because he said they're so thin, it can also leave fingerprints or something. So he goes over to this tarp. He lifts it up. Sure enough, there's a homeless man. And by this time, we know that it's this sweet man just sleeping there, worn, minding his own business, sleeping. Brian says he pulls back the tarp and just starts stabbing him in the neck over and over again. Warren kept asking him what he was doing and why, but Brian just kept stabbing him in the neck. Brian said it was surprisingly easy because he thought this man would be really strong and try to fight him back, but he just really never did. He said that Brian said he started, even his interrogation video, he started growling and making animal noises, and the officer's like, why'd you do that? And he's like, I don't know. But he makes the noises. It's really creepy. But he told them that he'd been wanting to murder somebody for a long fucking time. That's what he said in the video. Brian said that Warren's head was barely hanging on after he stabbed him so many times in the neck. And this, mind you, this is like 11 p.m. the night of February 28th after this movie night. I'm sorry, the 27th, not like this movie night, when his parents like found this car in the water that next morning or whatever. So this is, which was 2 a.m. that following day, right?
After the movie of 1984.
Yes.
You're making it sound like 1984 and George Orwell is bad.
No. I'm just saying.
It's a great book, guys. It doesn't have, you know, people decapitating people like that.
Oh my God.
Just dystopian future. Big Brother. Whatever.
My point is that it's late, it's dark. There's no reference to the movie. So it's dark, there's cars passing by, but like no one seems to either see them or stop to see what's going on. So, and they're kind of like behind a pillar. So he proceeds to take off Warren's clothing as he's already had passed away. Brian said that he then cut open his stomach in order to see his guts in this video. Brian laughs and tells the investigators, quote, "They're really pink. Sorry, that was morbid." That's what he tells the investigators. So I think it'll look a smile on his face.
That guy
I was like,
is psycho.
Jesus Christ. And then Brian said that he cut his head off and then gave him that Glasgow smile, like the Joker smile.
Oh, is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah, after he cut off his head. Like he went into detail about this. Then he said he went on to like destroy his eyes with the knife. Then he cut off his hands and put them in Ziploc bags. And then he cut off his arm, like kind of in the middle, cut that part off, and then cut the rest of his arm off, like his shoulder. And then he tried to do it with the other arm, but like the upper portion was like already broken, so he couldn't really get it off. So he just cut like the lower portion of his arm off and then kept that part on. So he just kept cutting different pieces of him off and putting it in bags. So that was what was in that other bag that his mom never opened. Was part of his hands, something like that. Gross. So then after he did all that, he also put Warren's head in like a box and, you know, all these other parts in like in the trunk or whatever.
Double
and then
bagged
he drove
him up and took him home.
Double bagged him up and drove him home. And then he cleans the knife too. Not funny, Eric. Jesus. And then he cleans the knife that his father found. That's why it was clean and there's no blood on it.
Jesus.
He puts his clothes in the washing machine so he can clean them. He brings the head, other body parts up to his room. And then he goes back out into the night. And that's when... I don't know if he was trying to do it to, like, get rid of evidence, which obviously didn't work when he was, like, sinking his car in there, or if he, like, really accidentally did it. But it seems like he was trying to cover up something.
Well, there's blood on the trunk and everything.
Yeah, so I was like, why don't you wash it off and then, I don't know. But in the interrogation room, though, he also talked about, like, other kits that he had made. So there was one that he was thinking, like, maybe he can get, like, a sex worker. And, like, he had all these, like, zip ties, all these crazy things that, like, he wanted to tie her up and, like, torture her and stuff like that. But his parents found it, and they said they were going to call police. But then he, like, argued with them, and they said, okay, we'll give you an ultimatum. Either you get rid of it or we're calling police. So he just got rid of it. And nothing came about of that. That's in my head. I'm like, why didn't they get him help then?
It's got to be hard for a parent, for sure, to see their kid, like...
Totally.
I don't know. Just pay attention to your kids more to see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I guess they did, and they found that shit, but, like...
They should have gotten
him. At some point, you're like, okay. It looks like he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Or wants to.
Yeah. Like, the way she was talking in the 911 call about his, you know... I mean, I get it. I'm interested in all this crazy stuff, too. But, like, I don't know. At that point,
you don't have kill kits.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, at that point, maybe get him help instead of threatening to call police or something. I don't know. I'm not blaming his parents for anything, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
But 19-year-old Brian Coe, he was arrested March 1st, that same day that Warren was reported missing, for the murder and mutilation of 69-year-old Warren Barnes. In those interviews, Brian also stated that he had been planning the crime for a long time, not necessarily against Warren, but to kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He also told police he has major depressive disorder and he was just in a bad state of mind. So Brian ended up pleading not guilty by reason of insanity. In Colorado, according to the Daily Sentinel, in order to be found legally sane at the time of a crime, a person must be found incapable of distinguishing right from wrong at the time a crime is committed because of a mental disease or defect. So in their opening and closing statements, Brian's attorneys argued a combination of mental illnesses overrode his ability to know right from wrong at the time of the killing. Two different psychologists testified arguing whether he was sane or not during the time of the murder, but he was ultimately found guilty of first-degree murder after 2 days of deliberating. Brian was 21 years old at this time that he was sentenced to life in prison plus 13 and a half years without the possibility of parole. In this interrogation room, he's like, I don't know, what do you get for murder? 10, 20 years? I don't know. I won't be there for life. Just like, you murdered
someone. Doesn't care.
Yeah, no, he doesn't, yeah. So let's just talk about Warren Barnes for a second, our victim, because Eric makes all these jokes. No, I'm just kidding.
That's fucked up.
I'm just kidding.
That sucks for that guy.
No, I know. It's fucking,
it's crazy that people just can, like, plan just to kill and, like, not even, like, out of a vengeful act, but just out of a random act.
And this is what I was going to say. He said he did it because he knew he was homeless and no one's going to miss him. He's like, no one's going to even find out. It's just like, that's horrible. Like, there's people that still love these people. They're not just homeless, random people.
It goes back to, like, when you started this podcast, this story today, you were talking about his argument of Darwinism, mm-hmm. and how people are just violent, mm-hmm. you know? And that's his mindset. He's like, what's the difference? We're just animals that are violent, pretty much.
Yeah, it's exactly what
I'm saying. And it's like, he doesn't understand the morality behind things.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah.
Like, we're humans that have a conscience that can be moral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, he just maybe wasn't born with that kind of piece in his head. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like that interrogation, it's just like he's almost telling a story and he enjoys talking about it. And it's just, he has no sense of just remorse, or I think he knows what he did, but he just enjoyed it and thought about it too much. But according to ColoradoSun.com, quote, the victim, Warren Barnes, was known around downtown Grand Junction as, quote unquote, the reading man, because he so often sat behind a bridal shop absorbed in paperbacks when he wasn't helping store owners move boxes or doing odd jobs through a temporary agency. He was valued, he was loved, he is missed every single day, said Monique Lanati, who owns the bridal shop where the 69-year-old Barnes found his own version of home, unquote. People that knew him said that also he was never known to, like, beg or, like, hassle people, you know, passing by. He had a stock phrase for those who wished him a nice day. He said, and you also. He shared his daily Subway sandwiches with the birds that would gather around, like, his boots and everything. It's just like a sweet old man, you know. It just, like, makes me so sad. But, you know, he just wanted to help others and wanted to help himself, you know. That's what he needed in his life. So it's just a horrifying way to think of the way he died, for absolutely no reason. But if only, you know, like I was saying, if, you know, Brian got some mental health help in his life before any of this really happened.
Yeah, it just seems like he was pushed around from doctor to doctor.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, unfortunately supply you with meds that can fuck you up even more.
Mm-hmm, for sure, yeah. But yeah, that's the story of Warren Barnes. It reminds me of, I think it was episode 12. We did the Facebook killer where that guy was, I don't know if he's divorcing his wife or having a fight with his wife.
And he was driving around on that video.
Yeah, and that poor little man was walking down the street and just, like, shoots him randomly in the face. Yeah. And I was just like, these little, I don't know why. It's just like, it's so freaking sad to me. Like, he had a life that he could have lived. I'm going to post a picture. There's actually, somebody had actually snapped a picture of him on this chair, like, reading a book like he did every day by this bridal shop for Warren Barnes. So I'll post it. But yeah, it's just sickening.
Yeah.
Infuriating. But
it's crazy in this day and age, we're starting to label this evil as mental health problems, which probably are more defined and are, but, like, at the end of the day, they're fucking evil.
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
I don't think we have that. Yeah. We have thoughts of going around, like, putting knives and gloves in my glove compartment and, like, going around thinking I'm going to, like, murder somebody or something.
Yeah. But
I don't know. That's why I'm so interested. Like, what goes in these people's mind that thinks that it's okay to do something like that to another human being?
So many different things, like, from them growing up and how they grew up, or
for sure. Yeah.
Anything. For sure. A chemical imbalance in their head.
100%.
That they're born with. Maybe other chemicals that are on so much of our foods are in the air now,
mm-hmm.
that parents breathe in and babies grow up eating, and
I'm curious
a chemical imbalance, you know, forms in their heads as at birth. I have no idea. It could be like a million different things.
Yeah, like you're saying, medications. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But you're right. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's fucking evil.
It is, for sure. 100%.
And then, I don't know, we're starting to sympathize with it more, it seems. Like, all these programs we watch and documentaries, we're sympathizing with, like, the mental health crisis more, which I do feel we should.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also just evil.
For sure. No, for sure.
And yeah, we're trying to define that. And an evil person has no moral.
Mm-hmm. No. Yep.
So I don't know what to do with all that.
I don't know. You need to stop glorifying all these serial killers.
I guess. Yeah. That's why I talk shit about them.
No, I know. Because, yeah, sometimes they do. Like, you know, some shows I feel like they try not to, but then some are, like, solely based on, like,
these There's evil always people. Two sides of a story, for sure.
100%, but, yeah.
But one side is going to be more evil than the other
yeah,
side
of the story. Yeah, for, you know? Sure.
For like, sure. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But thanks for listening to this week's episode. Until, I guess, next Monday. Stay safe and be aware.
Bye.